Will Blackburn.
Kelly's reference to the tradition of the Lady of Fire reminded me of a Provençal translation where, you know, I'm certain none of it all began in that sense of it. Rudel is, Geoffrey Rudel is about the middle of the 12th century, and the first troubadour of whom we have any record at all, Guillaume de Pétal, who was Eleanor of Aquitaine's grandfather, had already done a satire on it, you know. So, like I'm certain Rudel didn't, like, invent the, although he was very famous during his period for, like, constantly singing his Lady of Fire. And the vita of the piece reads, Geoffrey Rudel was a very noble man, the Prince of Blaia. He fell in love with the Countess of Tripoli without ever having seen her, on the strength of the glowing descriptions he had of her from pilgrims traveling from Antioch. He made many good verses for her, but with poor words. This is the beginning of literary criticism, Dick. He made many good verses for her, but with poor words, though the tunes were good. And because of his desire to see her, he took the cross and put to sea. He took sick on board the vessel, and at Tripoli, they thought he was dead and carried him to an inn. When it was known to the Countess, she came to him, to his bed, and took him in her arms. And he knew that she was the Countess, and immediately recovered his sense of hearing and smell. I don't know what that says about medieval cosmetics or anything. You know, but it's a... And he knew that she was the Countess and immediately recovered his sense of hearing and smell, and he praised God that he had sustained his life until he had seen her. Then he died in her arms. She did him the highest honors, having him buried in the house of the Templars, and on the same day she became a nun because of the grief she had at his death. Anyway, one of Rudel's pieces is called Cuando los ríos de la Fontana. When from the spring the stream runs clear, so in spring sun clears the air, Eglantine appears. The nightingale in brake modulates, clarifies his song, softens it, reiterates, polishes and sweetens it. Only right that I my own song soften. My distant love for you, my whole body aches, and I can find nothing to heal it but in your call, that has as bait soft love behind curtain or in orchard with the mate I long for. That chance refused forever, it's no wonder I burn. There never was fairer lady, God wouldn't want one, Christian, Jewess, or Saracen. The man who wins even a part of her love is fed on manna. No end to my body's desire toward her I love most. I'm afraid my will cheat me over, take me with lust. For that pain is sharper than thorns and cured only with joy. I want pity from no one for a pain I would share with no man. The Tornada. This Tornada or Envoi is addressed to Hugues VII of Lusignan. who had taken the cross for the Second Crusade in 1147. Tornata. This verse, sung in plain Occitan, we send by Filiol without parchment brief to Uclibrun, and happy to know that everyone, the Poitevins, the people of Berry and Guyenne, and all the way up to Bretagne, may be happy because of him. It's a little political ending right there, you know, so after that nice love song. But that, the beginning of that tradition of loving someone so intense, you know, so absolutely out of reach. Well, let me knock off the, let me do that piece of Guillaume de Pétau's too. Guillaume de Poitou was the Count of Poitou and Duke of Aquitaine. And somewhere in here he mostly wrote kind of after dinner speeches in a way, I mean, which he used to sing for his friends. But this piece seems very clearly not an attack but a satire, if you like, on apparently a lot of forms or attitudes that the troubadours had, that the singers had already developed. And he's the first one of whom we have any record. So, I mean, in other words, this tradition orally had existed for a long time, and a lot of the sort of recurrent themes and clichés show up in here in a rather strange way. Farai un vers de Dretnien. I shall make a verse about nothing, downright nothing, not about myself or youth or love or anyone. I rode at horseback, dead asleep while riding in the sun. I was born, don't know the hour, not blood nor choler has the power. My, just thought of choler, my humor's neither sweet nor sour, not worth a drop, since the night they sorcered me on a mountaintop. Don't know if I'm awake or sleep, if no one comes to fill me in. My heart is nearly cleft with pain, it rather it were partial. I wouldn't give you a mouse for it by old Saint Marshall. I guess I'm sick enough to die. Know only what they tell me. I'll ask the doc for what I want. I don't know what it can be. I'll recommend his doctoring if ever he can heal me, but if I sicken and get worse, well, maybe not, maybe not. I have a friend, I don't know who, for I have never seen her, so she treats me neither well nor ill. I do not say I blame her. But this argument is also nil. It is not worth a curse, since I've never had a Norman or a Frenchman in the house. Never saw her, and I love her very much. It doesn't matter if she treats me straight or not, for I do very well without her. And besides, I know another who is prettier and such. Why, she is not worth a rooster, and this other one is rich. Well, I've made the verse already, though I do not know of whom, and I shall send it to a friend of mine who's sitting in a room. He will hand it to another near Anjou, a gravel pit, who may send me back from out his box someday the key to it. Box or verse, the key to it. Which it seems to me very clearly a takeoff on a number of those, poses, if you like, of the troubadours, including, like, it was 50 years before Rudel wrote, was singing His Lady in Tripoli, you know? So. Sounds. Listen, Death, Beth, see, it's not so bad. You are the most unconquerable, he said, ocean I ever had, speaking to the Atlantic. The noises in the night are cries for help. And listen to the neat piping in the night. It's far from men. The paper's torn, and so's the word. The nails have done their trick. The town sits in our laps and laps. The Neolithic fen is far from born. The town is there in the far-off sounds, and morning's rain comes in. It's my T.S. Eliot poem. Okay. She stole my hat. My hat was in the lounge with my jacket. The jacket, she didn't take it, but my hat, she took it clean out of the place. She liked my hat and went with it to the room and danced. Danced with it, wearing the hat. She danced, wearing the hat. She danced and didn't expect I'd come back for it. I did. Pretended I hadn't figured it out. Talking with her friend, I figured she liked my hat. The next morning, nobody was up, both of them sleeping late. Come in, I did, and there it was, my hat. On the bed, she, by God, slept with my hat. Invocation to Venus. Oh, foam-born lady, take your teeth out of my cock. Thank you. I guess that isn't what I meant. Just lie back now. Sort of from Europe last year, I got into doing sort of journal entries rather than poems in that strict sense of it. I still don't know quite how the groupings go, but some of them, you know, are fairly clear. Anyway, let me sort of read in that area. This was Paris. It's called Oh Shake It Up Baby. Today was wave day. If you had anything to wave, today was the day to do it. A late start, however. Flags waving, a damn cluster of them at the Palais de Luxembourg. A man in a window across the street from the hotel, Jean Bart, waved a light at a group of students. Turned out to be a chorus rehearsal. Joan and I waved our eyelashes at one another and other things. I stomped Mother Naked up and down the room, imitating the choral director across the street. Everything we do is very funny. We're very tender and serious. We wave everything, even clothes. I waved a 100-franc bill at the younger brother waiter at a Vietnamese restaurant on Vaugirard, and he had to go wave it at someone else a few doors away to get change. After I waved my tail with some success at one of those Arabic bathrooms in a bar near the metro at La Tour Maubourg in the middle of good German beer, I left my Mexican hat off and let my hair wave at people. Seemed the only thing to do today. And swung my hat cavalierly through the metro changes all the way to Strasbourg Saint-Denis, where the correspondence is, will get me to Saint-Placide with just one change of trains. And just to finish off the day, a pair of gendarmes, corner of Vaugirard and Boulevard Raspail, waved down a cab with a passenger in it, waved a finger at the driver. I guess he was going too fast that block. The driver, as was natural, waved it off. Paris, not spring either. The young man in the next booth in the cafe is waiting for, while he studies and looks at me occasionally while I translate and wait for. We exchange glances, shy, and his girl arrives first. I feel her presence over my right shoulder. Before he sees her, I see her. She is blonde and very pretty. Mine is brunette and has not arrived yet. He and I both smile. This city. Rosemary and the language problem. Coming to Paris, I spoke Spanish most of the time. Argentine friends. In Amsterdam, a week later, I'm talking mostly in English. Americans. including a new friend from... Oh, wait a minute, I left something out. Oh, in Amsterdam a week later, am talking mostly in English, Americans, including a new friend from San Francisco with eyes that go right to the bottom of my scrotal sack. Oh, balls. And tonight I'm speaking Italian to waiters in the lights of plane and a businessman from Milano at whose table, etc. I am minestrone, pizza napoletana, plus a half liter of red. But there's this head with the eyes I've got eyes for and with very strange heads on us both. What I better do is go back to Spain, speak Spanish. And where is her head? Back of her hands, I think. Otherwise, I'll think in this town, backwards. Who is it sitting in this chair, her eyes straight, her legs crossed nicely, also straight? The answer's when I do ask the question. Another time, maybe. Translate that. When I start taking pills again. And the eyes, saying yes and no, move me right there and exactly. How she sits there and looks. It is a mirror. I am for her, she for me, the glass, not yet broken. I want to know. Her mouth tells me nothing. Her eyes, however, speak at the rough edge of the glass, the turn of her ass. They, yes, speak. Some part of the November of last year's year 67 journal, which D. Alexander is, I guess, if he's putting out that next issue of Odotala, will be in there. Green shoes, black umbrella, stands on her good legs outside the school for an hour. Checks her watch in vistas of doorways, corners, people pass. Alas, neither she nor he. He's in Memphis, and Lord only knows where she is. The rainfall, the umbrella, the watch, the green shoes, the green rainbow, the umbrella, watch the shoes, they move, see? A blues. Kiss, kiss, and I do miss you. Let me be where that next other glorious morning will be. And not in the mind either, babe. Not never no more in the mind, babe. Not never no more in the mind. Cold birds out the window trying to sing. Sweep of the sea, moving water, much further away. I got rights to be blue, no? Who are we? Let us see. A gull and a porpoise. Como no? Better than any marriage I have had or could think of. I've been fixing a hole where the rain comes in. And below the 17th Street, Nashville, the cross-through below Fisk campus, where is liquor stores, bars, cleaners, numerous barbershops, burger joints, a movie, and even a gas station. S-O-A, see no way, see-saw, so off they go, back to Memphis. Tank full of gas and a pocket full of rye. The rest of this town is located elsewhere, down, down. And his scariest shit. Mean white mouths and steel eyes out gunning for my beard and long hair and tight jeans. The eyes say it loud and hard, nigga lover. And I surely am. All the beautiful faces I see downtown are black. A pleasure to take bus back to the ghetto. That's where it's at, Morton. I'm a nun here for days, soon shortened. Where were all they? And it was not me when it was. I was there. How is you spell poems, man? If you're looking for where it is, where it really is, never choose no road. Whatever road you take will tell you, make you go, take you to where it is, really. give me Librium or give me meth. It was among graffiti on the sculpture in the center of Astor Place between the Cooper Union buildings, November 10th, 1967. It's a great sculpture. You can move it around. You know, like the kids always get up and start pushing the damn thing around in circles, you know. The game. If you sit on the grass, quiver, legs folded under you and lean together toward one another, join, no, not the Kama Sutra hands. You are promising each other many good things you may or may not be able to deliver. Two, dancing for joy, each on a different cloud, though. Angels and birds discourse, petals, leaves, and snow all fall. Two old ladies sit and watch the show disapprovingly. They are having a good time. Lyndon B. Johnson seahorses peer. Dog-eared elk sit back to back. One is watching a woman undress. The other a Notre Dame-Michigan football game. Michigan is losing. Fish converse. Octopi squirm. The undressing lady puts a sack over her head. Lovers promise. Gonads dance. The snow keeps falling. That was a wallpaper designed in a 120-franc hotel room in Luxembourg, November 17th, seen in an association set. One of the loveliest things about Holland is that they put out a gin that, man, you should never mix with anything, ever. Never, never mix that gin with anything. It's so beautiful. Even, you know, cool it a little, you know. It's a piece called Gin. Clear objects, the clear objections, the gulls float through the yard. The wall, paper is stained, sections are pure Cretan linear B. I fled New York somehow. It's all hers now and cold. Amsterdam's full of sun. It falls aslant 10 buildings in the next street. I can see from my window. The Dutch believe in large windows. It is exactly the width of the room, a long, narrow Van Gogh room, even the skinny bed in the right position. Except the canal is at the front of the hotel, so the room faces what I would call the wrong direction. Black roofs and red roofs, tile, while blackbirds in the shadowed backyard hop about through bright yellow leaves or flap between the lower branches. An enormous gull just swooped through the yards leisurely. The canal at the front of the hotel. Go to it. Read the cards. Even with sunlight, I am lightly depressed. Photo, September 18th, the boat train, Le Havre to Paris. Joan confronts the French landscape, the gold locket, her tooth marks in it, good, tight lens on that camera. Blue dress, blue landscape, blurred. Oh, shit. I left my heart in the 7th arrondissement, a good bit south of here, apparently. Forget it. I've left my heart everywhere. Walk around collecting bits and shards. Gil, how do you keep such a unified vision of your own lives and parts? I take trains. Or planes, boats, or goats. Gull flies through the backyard one way, crosses pigeon flying through the other. Damn, this gin is good. I have a strange relationship with the city of Toulouse. I studied there for 2 years in the 50s, and ended up after 2 years writing a Cervantes against it, because, well, just to start with, like the first 5 months that I was there, it rained every single goddamn day, you know, like from fall until like somewhere in February, and I couldn't believe it, you know. And it was the wettest goddamn place I've ever lived in. And I don't know why it hasn't gotten flooded out in the last 700 years, but somehow it manages to survive. Anyway, I had to go back and do some research, and this was written before I got back there. It's on the train going from Paris to Toulouse, so I wasn't yet disappointed yet, or, you know. But, I mean, like, I really look forward going back, and you know, I'm like, the library's there, you know, I can get into libraries, you know, wonderful. Except they'd managed, someone had taken out all the goddamn books I need, or, you know, like, over half of them, hadn't even signed them out, so I couldn't get in touch with them. And I mean, it was a disastrous 2 weeks, and it rained. Eventually, I was so uptight, I got out, and to get out, I was meeting some friends from Paris. I was meeting them in Barcelona on the 15th, and just to get out of there, man, I decided I was going to rent a car, and we'd drive around Spain, you know, and, like, just groove, drink wine, lie in the sun, right, you know. And so I rented this car for a month. I drove it for, and then I don't want to go through all the shit that they give you at the agency. I had to keep going back to the bank to get more money. They kept giving me lower prices than they were actually charging me. And after all this, I mean, like, I sort of had to, I almost, you know, threw it all up and took my money and left. And then I decided, oh, the hell with it. You know, like, you're getting paranoid again, right? You know? And so I went through with it, and I rented it for a month and bought all the insurance I could get on it. I drove it 2.5 hours and racked it up on the left side of the road in the middle of the Pyrenees, 15 kilometers this side of the Spanish border. And tore the whole front end out of the mother. It was really great, you know. Then I went to Spain. But this was that's how Toulouse gets you, you know. I mean, you lose your judgment, you begin to panic, or I do anyway. As a matter of fact, I had to go back and collect some of that money later in the spring, and I refused to go back to the goddamn place. I you know, everything was all cool, and I had my Volkswagen camper, and everything was great, you know. I managed to avoid Toulouse, no matter how I was getting into Spain. I would avoid Toulouse, no matter where I was coming from. Take great detours into the hills, you know, like one. And finally, one day, I was coming across the south of Provence. I'd left a friend's in Saint-Jean-Par-Apt. And I'd left at about 4 o'clock in the morning, and man, I'm driving, and, you know, everything was groovy. Not only that, it was a beautiful day, and I'd really sort of steeled myself to, like, go to Toulouse and collect what was left of my money there. And, God, you know, it was really incredible. Like, 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm coming in, and the sun is shining, and it's bright, and unbelievable, you know, you just couldn't believe it. And it took me an hour. That is to say, it took me less than an hour to do my business. And you know, before I left town, it was raining, you know. I think I carry it with me. It's unbelievable. Anyway, this is the Paris-Toulouse train. Quercy. Roads run off into the countryside and lanes into the trees and disappear. The hills. At belief, the first thing I see is a young wife standing in her dooryard, a chick. In red coat, black slacks, a yellow sweater, not taking any chances. The Carrez. That river kept coming at us from the left side of the train at an angle. At Gourdon, shades of Debourne, I hear the rhythms of the old speech. Two gents in the next booth in the dining car speaking a language thought to be dead the last 700 years. They talk about the lack of feeling in politics these days. Shades of Guillaume. Okay, I'm home, but not safe yet. Whole stretches of rapids. Can you think of any better entry to the south? What anyway goes on in your mind? Tree that it will be, hill that it will, field that it see, mist that it was, Joan's mouth I kissed before I left Paris, fog that I dig, December be kind to me. Cahors. Tile yard. Lumber yard, a medieval bridge, towers at both ends and in the middle. The hill like a sleeping animal, dormant. The gas stations like any place else. Signals 4. Pour l'obtenir de l'eau, appuyez sur la pédale, it says. And the eau non potable has been carefully edited down to no pot. And having had my tape recorder on for 4 hours, the New conductor at Montauban, with his small mustache, tells me, La musique, c'est interdit sur le train. Forbidden to play music on the train. I figure he's got nothing else to say. There are sons of bitches everywhere. Bonjour, Monsieur Blackburn. Welcome back to Toulouse. In rain, I swear. I spent a lot of the winter south of Valencia, a small town called Faro de Culiero. It's on a mountainside with Faro as a lighthouse. And let me not complain about it. I enjoyed it. But this is called the Net of Place. Hop turns into the sun, over the sea, wings red, the turn upward, mountain behind me. I have left those intricate mountains. My face now to the simple Mediterranean, flat, small boats, gulls, the blue. Old Hawk is still there, though, as there are foxes on these barren mountains. Old man in a beret, 62 perhaps, came into the village bar the other day. Two skins and one fox unskinned. You hunted these down? I hunted them. They come in closer in winter, seeking food. There isn't much up there. Rocky headland down into the Gulf of Valencia. My windows face north. He was a hawk. I turned back to the Rockies, to the valley swinging east, Glenwood to Aspen, up the pass. It is darkest night, the hour before dawn. Orion, old hunter with whom I may never make peace again, swings just over the horizon at 5 o'clock. As I walk, the mountains fade into light. Being together there was never enough. It was my thing. Nothing of importance, the reach, was ever said. I turn and say farewell to the valley, those hills. A physical part of well-being's been spent and left there. Goodbye, mountains, valley, all. Never to be there again. Never. It is an intricate dance to turn and say goodbye to the hills we live in the presence of. When mind dies of its time, it is not the place goes away. Now the hawk turns into the sun, circles over the sea, defines me. Still the stars show through. Orion in winter rises early, summer late, dark before, dawn during August, during which day the sun shines on everything, defines it, shadows I do not see. I rise early in every season. The act defines me, even if it is not my act. Hawk circles over the sea, my act. Saying goodbye, finally. Being here is not enough, though I make myself part of what is real. Recognize me, standing in that valley, taking only the embraces of friends, taking only my farewells with me. Stone from my mountains. Your words are mine at the end. Have I done about enough? Yeah, I think I should probably quit. I'll do a couple short ones. Thank you. Please call the request. Fishing boat at night, pulled up there on the beach at Seaches. The Antonia. Antonia. Whatever happened to you, Antonia? You've become a stick of wood, twisted up here on the beach, along with coils of rope, cats, a stray dog, the sand, sound of sea, and your hips have gotten larger, Antonia. At the bar, I must speak too low or something. Ask for cacahuetas salteadas, salted peanuts. So he took me to the men's room. I went. How to enjoy fishing boats. Sit on the terrace and look at them. Inshore tonight. Across all that green, blue, here, chug, count, the boats. Yush. Waves coming in, don't count. The beach below, low sound, then two bikes downhill from the construction site. One is a motorbike, its tires smooth on the roadway, its weight no motor on. The other, motorless, clanks lightly at every unevenness. Later a car comes down, a 600. The foreman's a likely guess. It chugs, the lighthouse goes on, opens its eye to come to us all. A half hour later now than when I arrived on this coast a month ago. February. The moon 2 days off full, high, already in the eastern sky. My girl leaves the room because she thinks I am working, and a working man should be alone with his mind, whatever that is. The last piece, the probability. On that not-so-bleak hillside, rocky, though, there's a bird out there singing a goddamn roundelay. There's a bird out there. Also broken bottles, tiles, bricks, trash, flowers, purple, yellow, and white, many iris, thorns, and rosemary. The hillside is mainly a gray-green. The sea, a bluer green, goes crash below repeatedly. Crash. A goddamn roundelay. I think she must have built a nest out there. Crash. Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I want to thank all three poets for what I... It seemed to me a very vivid and
just made the reading, you know, like it just came apart.
A very rich and vivid reading. It's a joy. There's a line of Kelly's that's stuck in my mind. It's a joy to me now that we've begun again to return to the darkness we call words. Thanks.